All right, Isaiah chapter 65. I would imagine that I'm not much different than most of y'all. I watch the news. Janet tells me I ought not, but I do. I watch the news, and I see the things that go on in this world. And I bet you're like me, that you often ask yourself this question. Why doesn't God just put a stop to all this? And destroy this world and bring it into it? Why doesn't he? You ever ask that question? Why doesn't the Lord just look down upon this earth and see that the wickedness of man is great in the earth? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. Why ain't God grieved in his heart to just destroy this whole wicked generation just like he did Noah's day? You ever wonder that? Well, there's an answer to that question. The title of the message is the question, why doesn't God destroy this earth? And there's an answer to the question. And the answer today is the same answer that's been ever since the fall of man. The answer is for Christ's sake. That was the answer in Noah's day. That was the answer in Adam's day. That was the answer in Isaiah's day. That was the day answer in the day of the apostles. And it's the answer now. God does not destroy this whole creation for this reason, for Christ's sake. Let's look here beginning at verse 8 and see if that isn't what the Word of God tells us. For thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. Now the picture Isaiah gives us here is a farmer. He owns a vineyard. He's got a servant that works for him, and that servant works in that vineyard every day. He goes out in the vineyard and he sees this blasted, withered vine. It's been blasted and withered as long as his servant can remember. It never has produced any fruit, never has produced any grapes. And that servant thinks to himself, That vine is a waste of time and resources. The time and resources that belong to my master. I'm going to cut that thing down and throw it in the fire. So we don't waste any more time and money on it. And he gets ready to cut it down. But the master of the vineyard stops him. He said, don't cut that vine down. I see a blessing in it. The servant thinks, you do. I don't. And the master said, I do. Don't you cut it down. Just let it alone. Don't destroy that blasted, withered vine, because later on, there's a blessing coming from that vine. And the application here is to the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone but God Himself looks at Adam's race, they would see nothing but deadness. They would see a dry, blasted, withered vine that's never produced any fruit, that's never produced any life, that's never produced any spiritual goodness whatsoever. And we'd think the thing to do is cut that vine down, throw it in the fire, burn it up, and just destroy all of humanity. God can start over if he wants to, but this vine is a waste of all God's blessings to him. God just wasted resources upon it. But God says now, you just hold your horses. Because when God looks at Adam's descendants, he looks at that blasted, withered vine, and it's you're right, it has never produced any fruit. But God says, don't destroy that vine. I see a blessing in it. The all-seeing eye of God says, I see a blessing in it. And the blessing in that vine is Christ. The whole human race is not destroyed for Christ's sake. He's the blessing in it. I'll show you that in verse 9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Now this hidden blessing in the dead vine, or the vine that looks dead, is Christ. Christ is the root out of a dry ground. Before Christ was born in Bethlehem, David's lineage looked long dead. The Messiah was promised to be the son of David. But David's lineage looked long dead. There's just nothing left of it. We would think nothing good could come out of this. But there was life in the root. You and I couldn't see it, but God could. There was life in the root. Life was coming through the seed of woman. Man is dead in trespasses and sins, but life is coming. Life is coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will descend from David. He's going to come of a woman. He's not going to have Adam's sinful seed. He's coming the seed of a woman. This is the Savior God promised in Genesis 3. The seed of woman coming to crush the serpent's head. The blessing is Christ. Isaiah describes him as the seed of Jacob. Now look in Genesis chapter 22. What is this seed of Jacob? Well, Jacob's seed is the same seed of his grandfather Abraham. And God promises him in Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, who is this seed? Well, that seed can't be anyone but Christ, can it? That's the seed that is promised here. All nations of the earth can only be blessed in Christ. And Paul, the Apostle Paul removed all doubt in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. He said, Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not unto seeds, as a many, but one seed. Thy seed, which is Christ. This seed is Christ. The hidden blessing is Christ. And it is for Christ's sake, because of the person of Christ, that God has not destroyed this creation from the fall of man right up to this moment. You think about that day, that horrible, dark day, when Adam fell in the garden. I wonder what those angels thought as they watched God create this beautiful creation, create this beautiful garden, and put man in it. Here's man, made in the image of God. And the angels wondered at that, didn't they? Just in amazement they wondered. And then they watched that man in open rebellion sin against God. I'm sure those angels thought, this is going to be the end of this. This is going to be the end of this creation. They thought God would destroy man because of sin. Much the same way they saw God deal with the angels who rebelled against God. They thought the same thing's going to happen to man. I guarantee it, Adam thought God was going to destroy him. That's why he was hiding in the bushes. He thought God was going to destroy him, and rightfully so. He wasn't wrong to think that. Because that's what Adam deserved, didn't it? What did God tell Adam? Adam, you've got the run of this creation. You've got the run of it all, except for that one tree, don't you eat it. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam ate the fruit. He expected God to kill him, didn't he? But he didn't. Yes, he died spiritually, but God did not kill him. He didn't wipe him out. Why? For Christ's sake. It was for Christ's sake. Christ already stood as surety for a people who would come from Adam's loins. Those people who would descend from Adam, there was a people. Not everyone, but there was a people who would descend from Adam who were already under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world so they could not be destroyed. For Christ's sake, because of who Christ is. Christ was the blessing that was hidden in Adam when Adam fell. God didn't destroy this earth. He didn't destroy this creation. He didn't wipe out Adam's whole race because there were a people coming from Adam's loins who were already justified from eternity. They were justified in the blood of Christ. Well, if they're justified, they cannot be destroyed. And the only way you can see that blessing is Christ. The only way you can see that hidden blessing is to see Christ with the eye of faith. Christ was the blessing hidden when Adam fell. Then a few generations later, God destroyed this earth with a flood. But when God sent that flood, he did not destroy man off the face of the earth, did he? He didn't wipe out all men. Noah and his family were saved from drowning because God put them in the ark. Now, by the time that flood came, Adam's lineage looked just like it looks now. It looked like a dry, blasted, withered vine that never has produced any fruit and never will produce any fruit. We were so vile. This creation was so vile. God said, I'm going to destroy it all with the flood. But there was a blessing hidden in that flood. The blessing was Christ. God still had an elect people. He still had a people he put in his son before time began. A people who are going to descend from Noah. Those people could not die. Because they were already preserved in Christ. They've been eternally protected in Christ. There is a blessing hidden in that flood. The blessing is Christ. But we've got to have eyes to see that the blessing is that ark, which is a picture of Christ saving his people from the deluge of God's wrath against our sin. The blessing was Christ. Man was preserved in that flood for Christ's sake. Then look at Genesis chapter 19. Then there came a day, God said the cry of Sodom came to him. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, this angel, who was going to go to that city and he was going to destroy it. Genesis 19, verse 22. Now you know the story. Abraham interceded for them and wow, what a mess. What a mess. And Lot seemed reluctant to leave. Now God's going to destroy that plain. He's going to destroy that city. He's going to destroy every city in the plain. And Lot seemed reluctant to leave. So look here at Genesis 19, verse 22. This is the angel speaking to him. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Lot, you've got to get out of here, because I'm going to destroy this city, but I cannot destroy it as long as you're in it. Because Lot, you can't be destroyed. If you look back at chapter 6 or verse 16, you'll see Lot couldn't be destroyed because of God's mercy. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and they set him without the city because of God's mercy. Lot could not be destroyed. Why not? I mean, is Lot really worth all this trouble? Yeah, he was. Because there was a blessing hidden in Lot. It was Christ the Savior. Lot could not be destroyed. Lot, who never did one thing right. When you read of Lot in the Old Testament, you don't read of the man doing anything smart. Everything he did was going the wrong way. It's hard to see a blessing hidden in there, isn't it? But you know what Peter called Lot? Peter called Lot just Lot. Lot, the justified one. The only way Lot could be justified was in Christ. He was justified in that blessing hidden in him, so he was not destroyed for Christ's sake. Because Christ was his Savior. Look at Exodus chapter 32. I hope you're getting a blessing from this. I sat in my study Monday and laughed out loud at just the wonderful blessings of our Lord for Christ's sake. Exodus 32, verse 7. And Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Moses, they've made them a molten calf. And they've worshipped it. And they've sacrificed thereto. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people. And behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone. Moses, you just stand over there. You stay out of my way, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Moses, I'm going to destroy them. And I'm going to start this thing over. I'll make of thee a great nation. Now, we know what happened here. God did not destroy Israel, did he? He didn't wipe them. He just didn't just wipe them off the planet. But why not? Isn't that what they deserved? After God delivered them with a mighty hand, they made them a molten calf and bowed down and worshipped it and said, "This is what our God that delivered us from Egypt." I mean, they took all the glory away from God. They're worshiping a creature rather than the Creator. Don't they deserve to be wiped out? Oh, absolutely they do. Then why weren't they? For Christ's sake. It was for Christ's sake. And when Moses interceded for the people, that's exactly what he pled. He pled Christ for them. Lord, he said, don't destroy the people. There's a blessing hidden in it. You can see it. The blessing that's hidden in it is Christ the seed. Look at verse 11. Here's Moses interceding. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Which, you notice God, I don't understand this, but I thought it was interesting. The Lord told Moses, that people that you brought up out of Egypt. And when Moses intercedes for him, he says, the people which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce anger, repent of this evil against thy people. Look here. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. God did not destroy the people because of the promised seed. It was for Christ's sake. That's why they weren't destroyed. And you could go on and on and on looking many different examples of this. But when we're sitting watching the news and seeing the world going around us, and we ask this question, why didn't God just destroy the whole world? God does not destroy the wicked right now for the exact same reason. He hasn't destroyed it for the past 6,000 years. It's for Christ's sake. There's still a people in his creation. Maybe they're alive, maybe they're not even born yet. But there's still a people in this creation that Christ died for. They have not been given faith in Christ yet. So for Christ's sake, the creation cannot be destroyed. The Father looks at that blasted, withered vine, man on earth, and he says, don't destroy it yet. I've got a people still hidden in it that I chose. The Son looks at it, and he says, don't destroy it yet. I know it looks bad, but don't destroy it yet. There's still a people hidden in it that I died for. The Holy Spirit says, it looks bad, but don't destroy it yet. There's still a people I must call out of it. They're not destroyed for Christ's sake, for the sake of the people that Christ redeemed. When you really think about it, that's the only reason you and me are here tonight. It's because in the past, God did not destroy our ancestors. I get tickled watching these, they got this thing now where you pluck out some hair or something, send it to somebody, and they give you this DNA thing, you know, about your family tree. I just get tickled about that. You better be careful. You might not want to track that thing too awful close. Now, you might find a Revolutionary War hero. You might find somebody that came over on the Mayflower. But I'll tell you what else I guarantee you you'll find. You're going to find some wicked people. You're going to find some idolaters. You're going to find some people who sacrificed their children. You're going to find some people who ate their children, who ate one another. You're going to find some people who took part in ethnic cleansing and just every wicked thing man has ever done. We're going to find that in our family tree. Well, here's somebody in our family tree. He worships idols. He's a wicked man. He's an unjust man. He's a man who openly hates God. Why didn't God just destroy him? For Christ's sake. Because there's a child of God. Could be Frank Bell. Could be Daniel Wood. Could be Gene Patterson. I don't know. There's a child of God who's going to descend from the loins of that wicked man. So you know what God does? He lets that man live. God blesses him with life. He may even let him prosper for a while so he can raise him a big family. So that one chosen one is going to come out of his loins. That man's not destroyed, not for his sake. For Christ's sake. For the sake of God's people. And I tell you, if you want to see something dead in your family tree, we don't have to look way down there. Let's start right here. This branch is a dead vine in itself. There's no spiritual life in it. It never has borne any fruit. There's nothing good about it whatsoever. But if the Father chose us for Christ's sake, surely, without a doubt, mercy and truth are going to follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We cannot be destroyed until that happens for Christ's sake. Christ is the blessing that's hidden in it. Isn't that a blessing? Well, I got another question. I forgot to start this recording, so I don't know how long I've been preaching. We might be here at midnight. Who are the people that are protected from God's wrath in Christ the blessed? Who are they? They're God's elect. Look back in our text, Isaiah 65. They're God's elect, verse 9. For I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. This promise of life, this promise of protection in Christ, isn't every son of Adam, is it? No, God did wipe out many people. He has wiped out many people. This promise is not to the whole world. It's not to every son of Adam. This promise is made only to God's elect. God says here, mine elect shall inherit it. I'm going to raise up out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains. That's Christ. Christ is the one who gets everything. First of all, because he bought it all with his blood. Second of all, Christ is the one who gets everything because he's the heir of God. He's the son. The son's going to get it all. And God's people are going to inherit it all too. Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Because we're in Christ, who's God's elect. And the key to that here, well, first of all, I got another question. That's who it is. That's protected in Christ the blessing. It's God's elect. God doesn't destroy this world for Christ's sake. And those people who are preserved in Christ are God's elect. Let's get right down to where the rubber meets the road. All that sounds real good so far, but this is what I want to know. Is that blessing for me? Am I one of these who are in Christ? How can I tell if I'm one of God's elect? How can I tell if I am one of these ones who's protected in Christ? Do you know you can know the answer to that question? You don't have to be in doubt. We can know the answer to that question. Am I one of God's elect? Am I in Christ? The answer to the question is very simple. Do you have faith? Do you believe Christ? God, the Holy Spirit, gives faith to everyone that Christ died for. We see the key to that here in verse 10, at the very end of the verse. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. The key word there is sought. The only people who seek Christ are those who are given faith in Christ. Look back at verse 1 of this chapter. We looked at this last week. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me. Behold me into a nation that was not called by my name. Now, by nature, we will not seek Christ. We won't do it. But everyone that God gives faith in Christ to, they seek. They seek Christ with all of their hearts. And everyone who seeks Christ in faith is protected from God's wrath. Everyone who seeks Christ in faith is protected for Christ's sake. They're justified for Christ's sake. Their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake because the sacrifice of Christ took them away. They're made righteous for Christ's sake so that God has no reason to destroy them. Look at Romans chapter 9. These are those who have sought the Lord. They sought him in faith. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why not? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but they sought it, as it were, by the works of the law. If we seek Christ, if we seek salvation, if we seek this blessing by our own works, we're not going to find it. But if we seek Christ by faith, we'll find it. We'll find the forgiveness of our sins. So those who God does damn, those who God does send to hell, they can't blame God for it. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault he didn't choose them. It's not God's fault he didn't elect them. It's their fault because they refused to believe on Christ. They rejected the only Savior. Back in our text, verse 11, this is what Isaiah says. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now everyone who God damns is going to have to honestly say, they forsook the Lord. They rejected him. They're gonna have to, in honesty, say, I forgot the Lord. And it means I was just oblivious to him. God didn't mean anything to me. Christ didn't mean anything to me. That's why I didn't seek him. They're gonna have to honestly say they gave aid and comfort to the enemies of Christ. They joined with them in their rebellion and their idolatry. They prepared a table before him. They're gonna have to say they joined up with those who were enemies of Christ. God spoke and they refused to hear. They chose evil instead of Christ. So when God damns them, he's going to give them exactly what they earned it. But that will never happen to God's elect. Ever. Why? For Christ's sake. And this blessing is so rich. Not only will God's elect be kept from destruction in Christ, God's elect are going to be greatly blessed in Christ. They will be so greatly blessed, they will inherit absolutely everything that God has for sinners. In verse 10, when Isaiah talked about Sharon and Achor, Sharon is a city that's on the west side of Israel. Achor is a city that's on the east end of Israel. These two cities on the opposite ends of Israel. Here's what Isaiah is saying. You're going to inherit everything. From east to west, and everything in between, you're going to inherit it all. Look here at verse 13. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Now those who seek Christ by faith, they're never going to go hungry. They'll always eat Christ, the bread of life. But those who seek to be saved by their own works, they're going hungry because there's no bread. There's no food on the husks of man's works. Those who seek Christ by faith, they'll never thirst for righteousness. They're going to be made righteous in Christ. They're going to drink Christ, the water of life, freely, and they're going to drink all they want. They'll never thirst for it for even a moment, because out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what our Lord said. It's Christ in them. But those that seek to be saved by their own works, those who seek to make them their own selves righteous, they'll always thirst for righteousness. Now, I've told you this before. When we thirst, it's because our body recognizes there's a lack of something in us. There's a lack of water in us. Those who thirst after righteousness are always going to thirst for it because there's no righteousness in them, because they can't produce it by their works. So they'll always thirst after righteousness. Instead of being filled with righteousness, they're filled with sin. Those that seek Christ by faith will never be ashamed. If you're in Christ, you've got nothing to be ashamed of, Because Christ took your sin away. He took the shame of your sin. He took the guilt of your sin and took it away by the sacrifice of himself. So God's people are not ashamed. They rejoice in Christ. But those who seek salvation by their own works, they're going to be found naked. They're going to be ashamed before God because they cannot. Man is incapable of producing a covering for our sin. Only Christ can do that. So you seek him by faith. You'd never be ashamed. He goes on, verse 14. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. But you shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Those who seek Christ by faith, they're going to find joy in their heart. And it'll be for good reason. Their sin is gone. Their sin has been forgiven in the blood of Christ. They've been made righteous in Christ. They've been given eternal life in Christ. What a blessing we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to be saved alive. Not just to be kept alive. Not just to exist. But to live. To live in joy and singing because of who Christ is to us. It's such a great difference. It's like the difference of being kept alive on a life support system compared to the living, the high life or something. I just don't know how to explain that, but there's a great difference between just existing. God doesn't just give his people life and they barely get by. He gives them the riches of spiritual life so they have joy in Christ. They have so much joy they sing because of who Christ is. But everyone who seeks salvation by their own works, they'll bring to themselves nothing but sorrow of heart because they never sought a new heart by faith. They never sought Christ by faith. And then, look here, we can't leave without looking at verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Now you remember what we are in Adam, what we look like in Adam. We're a blasted, withered, dead vine that can't produce anything. We're God's children, or we're Adam's children. We come from Adam's loins. We're part of his race, and because we do, we bear Adam's name, don't we? What a shameful name to have to bear, the name of Adam. We go out in public, and somebody sees it. What's your name? Adam. What? I can't hear you. What's your name? Adam. Oh. Now I understand why you're ashamed to say it out loud. That's a shameful name. But no one who seeks Christ by faith, not only will they never perish, they'll never live with the embarrassing name of Adam anymore. Now they bear the name of Christ. God says, I'm going to kill that old man. I'm going to call you by a new name, by my name. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I quote this verse often to you, Jeremiah 33, verse 16. This is the name wherewith she should be called, Jehovah Sakinah, Lord our righteousness. That's pretty good reason to sing with joy, isn't it? Righteous in Christ. To no longer have to bear my worthless, embarrassing name, but to have the Prince of Glory say, I chose you to be my bride. You're going to bear my name. You're going to be made what I am. Jehovah Sikkim, the Lord, our righteousness. Look back a few pages at Isaiah chapter 62. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Verse 4. For thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. You'll be called my delight, the delight of Almighty God. And thy land will be called Beulah, married, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Oh, what a blessing to bear the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who seeks salvation on their own, by their own works, by their own merit, they're going to have to bear their own name, aren't they? They're going to have to bear the shameful name of Adam because they refuse to come to Christ. They refuse to be joined to him and bear his name. So they're going to bear their own name. They're going to have to bear the shame and curse of their own sin. But not those who are preserved in Christ. Not those who seek him in faith. Not those who are preserved for Christ's sake. All my prayer is this. That God will be pleased to grant every one of us here tonight faith in Christ. So that we seek him. That we seek Christ and find everything we need in him. Life, blessing, forgiveness of sin. He's the blessing. He's the blessing hidden in this world. May God be pleased to give us faith to seek him. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for these precious, precious promises of your word. And we do only come before you in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we beg, Father, that you would hear us for Christ's sake. We beg that you'd save our friends and family that don't know you, our neighbors that don't know you. We pray you'd save for Christ's sake. That you'd have mercy on us for Christ's sake. That you would continue to bless us as we meet here from time to time, week after week after week. We pray that you continue to bless us. Bless your word to the hearts of your people for Christ's sake. It's all for his sake, Father. Bless us, we pray. As we go home this evening, we pray that you give us faith to go home looking under your darling Son, the blessing of all creation. It's in his precious name we pray and give thanks.